Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Now, it's time for Craig Mustard and Evan Drellick. Mustard and Drellick on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
It is Mustard and Johnson, Sports Radio WEEI. As you know, Larry is taking some time off, prepping for a little surgery. He'll be getting that in the next couple weeks or so, taking some time off. Be back as soon as he can. Tomasi filled in admirably. And Drellick more than...
Drellick is here.
What's that?
Drellick is here.
He is here.
That's, He's right here.
I'm referring to you in the third person. Apparently... You came up with some sort of a public relations stunt or something, publicity stunt, not so long ago.
Yeah, it was
where
great
you,
PR.
You. I've never heard of this. You purposely, intentionally showed up to the morning show an hour late.
Yes, I mentioned
most people don't sleep when they sleep in, or the alarm doesn't go off. It's happened before, even to me, where I didn't show up on time. I understand that, but you purposely. Decided to come an hour later than you were supposed to.
I thought it would build a little drama for the show.
Right.
I had watched Office Space recently. Yeah, I'm just not going to go. Mm. And look, it was stupid, but it did feel a little empowering because it was at a moment, and you know, it's been a tough few weeks, but I'm doing better now. It was at a moment where it was just like, look, they don't care about me. Let's see what happens here. Let's mix it up a little bit.
Well,
and so it was probably a dumb folly play, but I've apologized in multiple places, including on the morning show. I think we're past it now.
How
it was not my smartest move.
How was it received by the morning show staff?
Wonderfully. They loved it.
They loved it. I thought, what a genius.
They threw me out.
Yeah. So you were actually evicted.
Deserved.
You were evicted. You were told to go home. Got your walking paper.
To get the F out of here.
And how long did this freeze out last?
Oh, about a week, I'd say. It wasn't. You mentioned the bench here. The bench, it's strong, but I don't know if it's deep. So they needed me. And look, they got some talking time out of it. They know that. I know that. Everybody knows they got.
What is it about the morning show that? Produces all these walkouts.
Insanity.
I mean, Tangway's walked out at least three times, but I guess that's three strikes and he's out.
He's done at the moment.
That's it for the moment. We know that Dennis came back triumphantly. Was it last fall?
Was that triumphant?
I think in his mind it was triumphant until he ran into Tomasi, who guessed it was interrupting too much. John took exception to that, took some umbrage, and he walked out. Of his own show. Dickerson got upset at Mark James on the afternoon show on Saturday following us. That was about a month or so ago.
Man of the people.
Yep, he walked out. There's a lot of walkouts at this radio station.
Mine was
back.
A delayed walk-in.
Okay,
and then a forced walkout.
Very cagey on your part.
Bold.
There's no such thing as bad publicity, as somebody once said.
Well thought out. I made an assumption about how people would react to it, and you can't predict those kind of things.
We're going to get to your calls in just a second. Just want to tell you that this hour brought to you by Boston Laser. Book a free evaluation today at bostonlaser.com. Get $1,000 off by signing up for their patient loyalty program. If it's LASIK, it's Boston Laser. That came up last night, speaking of contact lenses. And I'm trying to remember the kid for Colgate. Was it Colgate, John, that had the contact lens problem? I believe it was Colgate. But it might have been another team. And off the top of my head, I don't remember. But this kid had to sit down for the rest of the game because his contact.
It was Colgate.
It was Colgate. And it was a European player.
Yeah, I'm not going to try to pronounce it.
I'm not going to either. He played at Northwestern. He transferred to Colgate this year. And he's their best player, big guy, and he had extreme eye irritation due to his contact lenses. And they were competitive in that game. They actually had the lead at one point in that game. And he couldn't play the rest of the game because...
If he was a real man, he would have played through it, right?
I mean...
Who needs to see on the court? You don't need vision.
Listen, all you have to know is...
Tom Izzo would have gotten him back out there,
That's right. Tom Izzo would have had him out there. He wouldn't have dared to sit on the bench for the rest of the game. All right, let's get to the phone. 617. We got a lot of calls to get to between now and 1 o'clock in Red Sox baseball. We start this hour with our friend Big Al down in Georgia. What's happening, Big Al?
Good morning there, Mustard. All the best, certainly, to Larry Johnson.
Yep, and he is listening, and he appreciates everything people are saying. And I told Larry we were texting back and forth. The audience, obviously, very interested in what's going on. And the best we can say at this time is surgery scheduled in the next couple weeks. It seems everything's a go for his recovery, and he'll be back very soon.
Good for him.
Yep.
Anyways, a couple of housekeeping things. First concert for me, Jethro Tull, Boston Garden. 1974.
Wow. Ian Anderson.
My ears rang for about a week and a half, I think, after that. Just, you know, the acoustics in the old garden. Lots to love about the old garden, but sound management was probably not one of them, but geez. But good show anyway. You mentioned Bobby Knight earlier also. Mm. One of the smartest, maybe the smartest thing that a really, really smart guy by the name of Larry Bird ever did was walk away from Bobby Knight. Smart move.
Yep. People forget that. Yep. Good point, Al. People forget that he went
Bobby
to...
Bobby Knight would have made Larry Bird. I mean, I just, you know, the mind boggles. And that kid exposed to Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde for 4 years.
Right.
Thank God he went somewhere else.
Yeah, he went there initially, took some time off, actually worked on the garbage, did a garbage route in Terre Haute before, or a French Lick before he went back and went to Terre Haute as an Indiana State player. And what if he had those great 2 years as a junior and senior? You know, Bobby Knight would have rationalized him by saying, well, he didn't win a national championship, did he? You know, he'd probably say something like that, right?
Yeah, but really, just to protect himself.
But I always wondered how any of those guys, those great players in the 70s, Scotty May, Kurt Benson, Isaiah in the early 80s, how any of those guys could possibly have endured that kind of strife on a regular basis. It boggles my mind.
One thing I've learned from living down south here, where the college sports dominate the pro sports as opposed to
the opposite,
New England, or it's the other way around. Is that especially the basketball coaches, they yell at these kids because they got one eye on the kid and the other eye is looking over their shoulder at the alumni and the boosters that are sitting in the seats behind the bench. And then they figure unless they yell at the kids, they won't cover their asses.
It's all for looks, baby. It's all for looks.
Get them fired.
And it is a cult. Let's face it. College basketball is a cult of personality. And, you know, you cannot succeed unless you have put your mark on the game, not only just winning, but you have to be this outsized personality. And that's the problem with that game. They're making all the money. Players are getting bupkis, and the whole thing is corrupt.
It is. Anyway, I called about the Patriots.
Sure.
Real quick.
Yeah.
You know, we get as Patriots fans, we all get all bent out of shape when we see all these shiny objects in free agency going to these other teams. You know, whatever. What time will tell on that. But I'm really heartened this year that we seem to have, and I've lost track. Maybe you can tell me, Craig, how many draft picks we actually have going into the. I know we got these supplementals, and we got others that we put tags on players where if we lose them, we get a pick. And we got all these picks. I think we're going to use most of these picks to draft real ball players.
They've got 12 picks. It's a dozen.
And in the second and third rounds, they have six in rounds two or three. So they can do a lot of business there. And maybe that's one of the reasons why they've been, you know, reserved in the free agent market. Maybe they believe they can fill some of these positions. I am a little skeptical about it. But, you know, it all seems to come out in the wash. And we can sit here and wring our hands each and every show about how the Patriots haven't drafted well over the last 4 or 5 years. That, you know, I've heard people say, well, you can make a case that their last great first-round pick before Sony Michel was Chandler Jones. What was that, 2011?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that kind of thinking drives me through the roof.
Right.
Because clearly it's worked in the past, and it's worked over many, many years. But that doesn't mean you don't look at the current state of the roster and the team and say, these are the holes they have. They do need to fill them. So just throw up your hands and go, well, they keep winning the Super Bowl, so they will always win the Super Bowl. I'm sorry. Nothing works that way.
But we all respond, Evan, to what just happened in front of us. We can't help it.
Not us nuanced types.
You're a long game thinker. It's always the long game for you. You're not
clearly.
Yes,
clearly showing up an hour late to a radio show.
The short game,
about the long game.
Short game probably isn't your specialty. You're a long game guy. Anything else, Miguel?
The only draft that's really bothered me that much about the Patriots, it was a couple of years ago when we only had four picks, and I guess we made some trades, so we ended up with only four picks, and only one guy, Derek Rivers, I believe, is the only one guy that's left, you know, marginally on the team from that draft. And I think this year's draft could be a good chance to kind of make up for that one, if that makes any sense.
Well, I think one thing I will say, and thanks for the call, Big Al, and I do think that Patriot fans, because there have been such a lack of activity for them on the free agent market, that I think this year, knowing, you know, okay, you got your six Super Bowls, and yeah, it seems like they can flip the switch now in the postseason and everything else, but you have to believe that Brady's shelf life is about to end in the next couple of years.
Oh, easy, Max. Easy, yeah. Max Kellerman.
Calm down. I know. I'm getting a little ahead of myself.
Don't take the Lord's name in vain.
But I do think Patriot fans will be anticipating this draft for the first time in a while with a great deal of focus, because this is going to be the future of the Patriots. And with all those picks in second and third rounds, you gotta have more hits than misses, I think.
Well, there's a ton of intrigue, because do they trade up? Do they draft a quarterback?
Right.
Is there a Brady replacement in the future here, or is it just a straight shot where they use all the picks to supplement for this year?
Yeah,
it's as a baseball wonk, I actually have a little bit of interest in this NFL draft. Hope you're happy, Jerry Callahan.
Jerry Callahan has finally succeeded. He can now rest in peace. John from Maine, you're next on Sports Radio. John from Maine, you're next on Sports Radio.
Hello, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, John?
I just wanted to say quickly, I think of all those walkouts you were talking about, I think the Dickerson one was the most justified, and I wouldn't be upset with him if he walked out every time in that instance, like a scenario like that.
Well, that was the case where that was in the wake of Josh Gordon's leaving the team one step ahead of the posse with the recurrence of his drug issue. And if you remember, I don't know if you heard this, Evan, James was
blaming the addiction on Gordon, saying he doesn't love football as much.
That he had control, that he felt that Gordon had control of his addiction, and Greg vehemently opposed that thought, to the point where, instead of getting into a lively debate, it really did hurt Greg. I think it hit home on some particular level, and Greg did leave.
Good for Greg.
Yeah, but they came back, and they actually reunited 2 days later on the morning show. So they made up, and they moved on. What else?
Yeah,
what else you got, John?
I'm listening. I'm glad they moved on from that. Well, what I want to say is I hear what you're saying about paying the college players, but I just don't think it's a viable option, because what type of message does that send to college baseball players or college lacrosse players or any other college player playing sports that isn't
that you get paid what you're worth? That's the real world.
Yeah, it's a marketplace.
You get paid what you're worth.
Yeah, it's a marketplace. Nobody in lacrosse is, no offense to lacrosse players, I like the game. And I've had a lot of kids leave Wellesley High School and play lacrosse at the college level. They don't generate any income. These college players are being recruited to do one thing and one thing only: generate income for the colleges. And it goes it goes into a lot of coffers, but none of their own.
Okay, so that leads to finishing my point, is there's thousands of other students that are paying to go to that college, and these players are receiving full scholarships. So what is that?
But they're not receiving anything near the amount of equity they're creating for their institutions.
Okay.
And scholarships, and let's face it, the guys that are generating the income, you've seen the numbers, and I hate to be cynical about this, and the number of colleges that graduate all of their players is very few and far between. If you can get up over, 60 or 70% graduation rate for men's basketball, that is saying something. Every year, who was the columnist for the Boston Globe? Derek Z. Jackson. What's his name? I think it's Derek Z. Jackson. I don't know if he's still there or not. Maybe he's part of the buyout. But he used to publish every year around this time the percentage rates of graduation for all the men's NCAA college basketball. And the graduation rates were abysmal.
Oh, they're all there to learn.
Yeah, right. Student athletes.
Of course.
No, but I understand the problem, John. I do understand the problem you're talking about. How can you make it equitable for all of the other athletes, for the squash player and the...
But if college is supposed to prep you for the real world, that's not how it works.
Right.
I mean, screwing over the people who are creating the income for the school for the benefit of those who aren't doesn't make any sense either.
Now,
what is this little utopia you're trying to create here?
Right. Well, the utopia...
I'm trying to create utopia. Pay the damn players.
I agree. And I think that eventually you're going to have to either that or you allow them. Zion Williamson, I don't know anything about him as a person. He's going to an elite academic college. As soon as his career at Duke ends, which could be maybe the national championship game, maybe before them. But within the next 2 weeks, his college career is over. Is Zion Williamson going to complete his second semester at Duke? Would there be any motivation or reason for him to do that? Who cares if he's getting a scholarship? He's getting a free education. He's never going to get it. He's not going to get his degree. Maybe he can come back later and
someday.
Do it on his dime. He can come back and do it if he wants. Let's end this fantasy that they're going to college. Because they're taking in academics. It's all about generating income, winning championships, and preparing yourself for the next level.
I'm with you.
Right. I don't think there's any argument there. 617-779-793.
Let's get Nick, because he's been on for a while. I get antsy when...
Okay. Nick, it's all yours, buddy.
How you doing?
Hey, good. What's up?
Good. A couple things, Craig. I want to just... obviously, first and foremost, wish Larry all the best. I know I was listening to your show for many years, and I know that happened to him a while back, and so I want to wish him the best.
Thank you.
You know, it didn't hurt John Wooden to have Walton and Jabbar for 8 years, 4 years.
Yeah,
they didn't come out in their second year. They were there for 4 years, both 4 years for Walton and 4 years for Jabbar, and they were the centerpieces and steeples of that team.
Hey,
because when you're the center,
that
can... You build around the Curtis Rose and all those guys from Sidney Wicks and that group and back then. But I have 2 points. I know you're up against time. You know, a couple of things I want to talk about.
Sure.
Rookie best, number one, and then I want to talk about the groups, and I'll listen to your response.
Okay.
The problem that I have with Mookie West as opposed to a guy like the kid that they just signed out.
What's his last name?
Mookie Betts, yeah.
Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
I think signing him to a long-term deal is not smart because when you sign – a guy like who just signed for Anaheim,
Trout,
the contract?
Mike Trout,
Mike Social.
Mike, you signed him for what, 10 years? They signed him for 10. Later in his years, he may become a DH like Pujols and like David Ortiz has done.
You know how old these guys are right now. Well, what are you worrying about 8 years down the road for?
Well, it's money, and I'm going to skip.
Is it your money?
Because I'm just saying that I think they got to be careful with Mookie. As far as your greatest hits and groups are concerned, Craig, I think you're missing out on a little bit of this.
Ooh.
You can flip-flop the Beatles and the Stones. You know, we have to be very careful about how we select our groups, depending on our age group. If your partner there is in his 30s, and Pearl Jam, one of his favorite groups of all time.
No,
not doing justice.
Counting Crows, not Pearl Jam, but go on.
Yeah, whatever. It's not doing justice. You're forgetting about a lot of those groups. Flip-flop the Stones and the Beatles. You're forgetting about a lot of groups like Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Love them.
The Who, Led Zeppelin, and so forth. And I'm going to quickly jump on to your other point when you listed Bruce Springsteen, who I think is the most overrated group of all time, and you had the audacity to put Bob Dylan as a single performer where, you know, Rod Stewart's in his 70s, and if you're trying to tell me that you wouldn't put him as a single group rather than Bob Dylan, then I don't know what's going on.
Dick, I take offense. Now, this is I'll answer that question very quickly. Bob Dylan is a great songwriter, revolutionized how lyrics were essential to music, all those great early folk albums. Then he took it to rock when he went electric. with Highway 61, revisited, continued that with Blonde on Blonde. He made lyrics important, highly influenced the way Dylan and McCartney went about writing lyrics. And of course,
while smoking a joint.
Exactly. And he was the guy that introduced marijuana to the Beatles, as you were alluding to. But just he took a lot of old folky songs, reworked the melodies, wrote his own lyrics. And to me, none of that all that great important music. Remember, even Springsteen was considered a young Dylan back in the first couple albums. It was a Dylan-esque feel of the first couple.
Madman, Drummers, Bummers, and Indians in the Summer.
Blinded by the Light. We heard
it
earlier.
Pretty rambling.
And the reason why I love that show at Gillette in 2016, he played the first 14 songs, 13 of them were from the first two albums. Which I love, because he was promoting Born to Run, not the album, but the biography, and the stage show was just around the corner, so he was really trying to plug in that whole biography thing.
Think about this for a second, or maybe it'll come to you right away, but this is a question I asked on Twitter last night that people seem to be responding well to. What is the first song you remember hearing from radio or cassette? And I'm not talking about a theme show from a TV show or something, the same song. I'm talking about, the first kind of quote-unquote real song you remember. And the two that I remember is 57 Channels, which is an obscure Springsteen cup of my dad at the tape.
Nothing's on. Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
I guess that was that was
early 90s.
Yep. That was a lesson in what was to come.
That was from the Human Touch album, 1992.
I would have been turning 5 that year. And Soul Asylum's Runaway Train was the other one I remember. Do you remember the first song?
Of course.
The first song that you...
Of course. The first song that America heard from those four mop tops in Liverpool. I Want to Hold Your Hand. That was the first song I remember. Ed Sullivan.
I'm a bit younger than you guys. I got just ripped away by Uncle Cracker.
Uncle,
boy, those are weird times.
I could be your father. I'm 30 years older than you. I'm 40 years older than John Anderson, our producer. I am just feeling so ancient here. It's amazing, but we're having a good intergenerational discussion.
Want my trivia question now, Craig?
Yes, I do. I mean, America waits. I mean, all of New England is on the edge of their seats wanting to know.
You kind of just gave yourself a hint with that last sentence, and we'll reveal it later before the show ends.
All right.
Last thing that you can either give me the artist he did it for, because I don't think you're going to get the song.
Okay.
Last thing recorded by Clarence Clemens before he died.
Oh, I know
the answer.
Okay.
You do?
Oh,
I do.
Go ahead.
No.
You want me to wait on it?
If you want to.
By the way, would Kirk know this answer? Because
no,
Kirk is he's a complete Springsteen junkie.
He might just because of Clarence, but usually people don't know
so
the answer.
Okay, so Clarence.
I'm on the edge of glory. Lady Gaga. Am I right? Clarence Clemens' little solo. That's it.
Is it a saxophone?
Listen to that sax.
Wow. So the last song he recorded was not from a Springsteen album, like Wrecking Ball, because I think that was the album that came out right after he died. And by the way, as you well know, his nephew. What's his first name? Jake Clemens. Does a great job. He has taken on the mantle of the Clemens family and plays a tremendous tenor saxophone. Maybe not as great as the big man, but certainly pretty close. So, how did you know that? Your bona fides are well established.
I mean, that song that he just played, that Lady Gaga song, was a hit. It was on the air, and that made the rounds on the interwebs about how Lady Gaga always wanted to work with him, and it took a bit of scheduling to get it done, but they were finally able to get Clarence. And I don't think he was in particularly good, his health had started to deteriorate.
What did he die of? A stroke? Was that what it was?
That sounds right.
Wasn't bad. Yeah.
It's like 5 days later, right?
Yeah, wasn't too long after that. But this is how mired I am in the last century. I've never heard a Lady Gaga song until the Oscars when she sang that song from Star Is Born. That's the first time I've ever seen Lady Gaga sing a song. On the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl, they came. Which one was it? Was it the Atlanta?
Falcons.
Was she at the Atlanta Super Bowl?
That's right.
In Houston, but yeah.
I was there and I couldn't remember that.
The game against Atlanta when they were down 28-3 or at least 21-3 at half.
They were?
Did you hear about that?
I did not know that.
Spoiler alert.
Wow.
They came back and won.
I haven't seen that one yet.
But I never saw that halftime show.
Didn't
she come down from the roof or something, or did you some wacky thing?
I had video of it that I took on my phone, but I don't really remember how.
But we digress. We're going to take a quick break. Get more of your phone calls in. Still a half hour to go. Drellick for Johnson right here on Sports Radio.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Now back to Mustard and Trellick on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Duke basketball sensation Zion Williamson proves there's enormous value in our country's most talented teenage basketball players attending college, not just for 1 year, but for three or four. The basketball establishment disagrees with it. The establishment appears on reestablishing the high school to NBA pipeline. Everyone hates the fraudulence of the one-and-done rule. College coaches hate the constant upheaval and the difficulty of effectively coaching young players 1 foot out the door. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver has strongly hinted that during the next collective bargaining agreement, he'll eliminate the age restriction that prevents high schoolers from entering his league. Conventional wisdom argues that Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Kevin Garnett, Moses Malone, and Tracy McGrady all proved you don't need college to become NBA superstars.
Does anyone think that's true?
I agree with Jason Whitlock on that. And I think you either have to do two things with college basketball. Either you get rid of the one and done, okay, or you pay them. If you think you can't pay them and you have that equity issue.
Oh, they can.
Okay, I know they can. They certainly have the money to do it. They have the resources. But if they opt not to, which is probably a scenario that will actually happen.
Oh, people love paying when they don't have to.
Oh, exactly. So I think what they're going to do is let Zion Williamson and those players, you know, you notice that Jason Whitlock only mentioned the ones that succeeded. You know, there's so many of those kids before the one and done rule came in that tried to go straight from high school to the pros that didn't work out. But Zion's obviously a guy that belongs in the same league with Kobe and LeBron. He's going to make an instantaneous splash when he goes to the NBA, and he could have done that going directly from high school to the league. So I think if they're not going to pay their players, then the best plan B is to let guys like Zion Williamson test the market. You believe in the marketplace, right? For certain things.
It's America, damn it.
That's right. We're America. We love capitalism. We don't like that socialism.
Except in sports. Then we want people to work for nothing.
We love capitalists who practice socialism on a regular basis, like the NFL owners, for
instance. Exactly. Right. That's something that doesn't get mentioned enough.
Right.
This is the socialist operation that is all the major sports leagues.
Right. Okay.
What is revenue sharing?
So
think about it, people.
So you don't agree with Jason Whitlock? You don't like that?
No, I was saying, does anybody, to his final point there at the end, that was my, does anybody think that's the case? Now, as we've gotten off it, I don't remember what the exact point was.
Right. But the point is that Zion Williamson should not be playing at Duke. As fun as he is to watch, and it's been entertainment, must-see television throughout the regular season, for me to watch college basketball has to be something special. Shouldn't be playing in college basketball. Should be playing for an NBA team right now.
If you're a good enough basketball player,
right.
Why do you have to go through hoops?
Right. If you're
pun not intended, but
right. Yeah, no pun intended. If you're an 18-year-old golfer and you want to play on the PGA Tour, go out and earn it. If you're a tennis player, we've certainly seen plenty of teenagers on the tennis front, particularly on the female side. Some
and then spend 3 years in the minor leagues, another 6 years before you can get a real contract. Hey, it's baseball.
There you go. But if you want to do that, play in the D-League, whatever. But we know it's a mockery of a sham, of a travesty, of a complete injustice that these players are going out there and not one penny goes into their coffers at all. Let's get back to the phone, see if we can clear up the phones before we say goodbye at 1 o'clock, making way for Red Sox baseball. It is our buddy Tony from Bridgewater. Hello, Tony.
Hey, I know Larry's listening. Hurry back, Larry.
Yep.
I'm going to listen to Evan here with Dombrowski, what you said earlier.
What, you didn't like what he said? What did he say?
I think, Evan, seriously, you're supposed to be a baseball guy, okay? Who?
You're more of a March Madness guy.
One guy. No. You said earlier, and I've been tearing up since you said it, that Dombrowski sold the farm.
He did.
Right? You call Mankata for sale, selling the farm? Tell me what.
All right, I'll lay it out for you, all right?
No. I'm going to lay it out for you first, all right? You've had 4 hours. I just want my 2 minutes here, okay?
You want fairness.
Poor Tony only gets 2 minutes. He never has a chance to express himself on the radio.
I've definitely never talked to Tony before.
Yes.
He got Evaldi. He got Kimbrel, two trades. He got Sale, two trades. Tell me who he's given up. Name me one player that he's
given
up.
Well, Tony, so here's the... Okay, if you want to fall back on they won, you can do that.
No, I
don't. You want to fall back on... Who has he given up that's been good? Well, there's a lot of time for some of these players to develop. And you don't know what's going to happen. You can't predict the future. But what you're not, Tony, what you're not accounting for, is that even if some of these guys don't turn out to be stars or even good, they are currency. So when you spend that currency, you are left without currency.
You're absolutely wrong. When you draft correctly, you've got these chips to play, just like the Celtics. You got all these draft picks and you got this to play, and you do it for a reason. You get all your chips and then you put them in for a bigger chip. And a prospect is only somebody who hasn't done it. And when you're talking about this guy like Moncada, this guy's got more holes in his swing. Thank God they got rid of him. But when you talk about the Red Sox winning the World Series, seriously, go Kimbrel and Evaldi and Pierce and Sale, they were all dominant figures for the Red Sox to win the World Series. These are guys that Dombrowski got traded for.
And deserves credit for doing it. But all I was pointing out, Tony, is that doesn't mean that what he has done is anything other than tear apart the farm system. It worked. But is it going to work going forward? You comfortable trading everybody away forever?
But you cannot name me one guy that's worked out for the other team. One.
Tony, it's way too early at this point. Because what if Moncada becomes a star? What if Anderson Espinosa, the guy they gave up for 2 good years, is Drew Pomeranz? Pomeranz got crapped on a lot. You know what? He was a pretty good pitcher in 16 and 17. The point with Dombrowski is not that, you know, the Sale trade was singularly bad or that it was bad at all. It's that in the big picture, love the big picture talk here at Sports Radio WEEI.
We're all about the big picture.
Big picture. Every deal he's made has been giving up future assets for current. It worked. No one can say it did not work. But if you're looking at the future of the organization and what is the safest way to build a team and the smartest way to build a team, that's the question being posed to John Henry and Time Warner. Yep. Is this the method you want to keep going with? Is it sustainable, Tony? That's the question for you to think about. Sustainability. Save the environment. Save the farm system.
Wayne and Natick, you're next on Sports Radio WEEI.
Yeah, I want to take Evan a task. How many interns you got there at WEEI working for nothing, Evan?
Well, as the hiring
manager... Our interns are paid.
I didn't realize that Evan was the boss here at WEEI.
You think I hire anybody here?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I just, you know, you guys say, Evan said maybe not watch NFL or watch NCAA because they're not being paid. You guys have people there not being paid.
That's not true.
Well, Wayne, I'm told by our producer that's not true.
We pay WEEI pays our interns.
Very good. Evan, there you
and
go.
And Wayne, even if there's, does one wrong equate to another wrong? Is it good if...
You're a hypocrite. I mean, should we not listen to WEEI because you got free labor there?
We don't have free labor here.
Wayne, make money here. They get paid a wage.
I'm a paid intern, Wayne.
Okay, that's just one point. What about our tree workers? If you got a tree down or your roof blows off,
they are
paid. Need roofing. But they are far more likely to get hurt than anybody in sports. A fisherman, you go out to a restaurant, you order a fish, they're far more.
You want to get regular Joe Schmoes, blue collar workers paid more? I think that's a great idea.
No one's against that.
Who's against that?
No one's against that.
Well, I mean, besides a whole branch of our government, but
yeah,
that's they're half of the country who thinks they're helping little people, but they're not.
63 million voters, including half the country. 617-779, not quite half the country.
How are your
country.
Tax returns doing, people?
Oh, my God. All those people, if you haven't gone to see your tax man, I saw my tax man on Thursday. If you're expecting your annual refund from your tax man and the IRS, forget about it. You are going to be paying out of your pocket. It is that thanks to that new tax bill that was signed by a Republican-controlled House.
Are we great again yet?
Not quite there. Not quite there. Okay, we'll take a quick break. Final segment, Mustard and Johnson, Drell again right after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now back to Mustard and Trellick on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Let me tell you how it will be.
Keep going. There you go. That was George.
The college coaching philosophy. Yeah. One for you, 19. Yeah.
Of course, the
nothing for you.
You realize the tax rate when George was complaining about that in 1966 was 90%. That was not a very equitable system. If you were a Beatle in 1966 from probably the greatest album ever made, Revolver. First song on the album. But I am really feeling George's pain right now. I'll tell you what. You're going to get crushed if you haven't seen your tax man yet. You're going to get... I love my tax man. Does a nice job. His name is Alan Auer. But, wow. Closing thoughts, Evan Drellick.
I really don't want to do my taxes. I haven't had a lot of free time lately.
If you're thinking refund, forget about it. By the way, this hour brought to you by the New England Acura Dealers. John Anderson, another fantastic job. On the other side of the glass, Drellick, you were fantastic. We got to do this again.
And I'll try to get your name right out of the case.
And Larry, get well, buddy. See you down the line. Have a good weekend, everybody. Red Sox baseball next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.